Today is Saturday, the 1st of July, and we're gathered here for the 88th session of the Mindfulness for Beginners program. On behalf of the organizers, I would like to welcome, with permission to speak Bhante's name, representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery, Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, to today's session. And I'd also like to welcome all the organizers and all the participants taking part via Zoom, and also listening on our Facebook Live feed. Before we start today's program, I'd like to encourage anyone who feels comfortable to do so to share their camera feed. This is a camera on session so that we have a sense of community and we can also help Bhante feel connected to us during his instruction. And with that, I would now like to invite most respectfully Venerable Dhammakusala Thero to start today's program with our in-session mindfulness practice, which is our usual way of commencing these sessions. Over to you, Bhante, with much merits.
Thanks, Arosha. Hello, everybody. We are starting another program now. So as the initial part of our program, we'll try and practice mindfulness for a while. Today, we can do a sitting session. So all of you, you can sit comfortably, adjust your posture. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can close your eyes gently and be aware. Notice what you feel when you pay attention like this. Various things might appear in your field of awareness, but we allow them to come and go naturally. We allow them to pass naturally. We try to be happy and peaceful in the present moment. Just appreciating that we are sitting in a comfortable manner. And we are calm and relaxed. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So that's just a few minutes of appreciating the present moment. You are happy and peaceful in the present moment. You don't need anything else. Just appreciating whatever that arises and just be with it. That's the idea of our practice. That way you can try practicing mindfulness in your day-to-day life. With that, Tarosha, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Panthe, for that opportunity for us to continue developing our mindfulness practice together and for the guidance to help us do that. So the next part of today's program is where we invite Panthe to offer some reflections and guidance on our mindfulness practice with a short talk on mindfulness. We recently have started organizing these talks on a particular theme, which changes every few weeks. And so this week we continue a theme that we started previously, which is on gratitude. So I would now like to invite most respectfully, with permission to speak Panthe's name, Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, to deliver a talk to help us continue to develop our mindfulness practice. Over to you, Panthe. Much merits.
Thanks, Larosha. Everybody, we can take some time to discuss today's topic. I think it's a continuation from the last week, which we initiated a new topic. We discussed gratitude and how we can relate gratitude to the practice that we are doing, the mindfulness practice. So on the same topic, we'll try to discuss further today. Now, last time we reminded that when you are mindful, you are appreciating the present moment. You don't need anything else to be happy or to be peaceful. You don't need a future destination to be peaceful. You don't need some future goal to be peaceful. Instead, you are happy and peaceful in the present moment. And that's the deepest level of gratitude that you can practice. Otherwise, we are waiting for things to be good to practice gratitude. We are waiting to achieve goals in order to practice gratitude. We are waiting certain people to come along in our lives in order to practice gratitude. But when we think about it, when we think about the present moment, we already have so many things in our life. We have good health in our body. We have so many things that support us. We have nature that supports us. We have certain people in our lives that supports us. So various things are there. So many things are there. Due to so many various causes, you are functioning in this present moment. If you can't appreciate that present moment, if you think that in a future distant day you'll be happy, then that's not the proper gratitude that we are talking about. Instead, if we are truly grateful, we should be happy and peaceful in the present moment. We don't need anything else to be happy. So that's the practice we are doing. We are as mindful walking, we appreciate in the present moment. We appreciate in that our body is able to walk comfortably. As mindful sitting, we appreciate in the present moment. We are appreciating that our body is able to sit in a comfortable manner and it's able to breathe in a comfortable manner. And that's a luxury that many people in this world doesn't have. So that way, we are practicing a deep level of gratitude in our lives. When we pay attention to our meals, when we be aware of the taste, when we be aware of that we are consuming our meals, that's practicing gratitude. You have worked so hard to earn that meal. So can you appreciate that meal for like 15, 20 minutes at least? So that's the idea of the gratitude or the deepest level of gratitude that we are talking about. And that is very much related to the mindfulness practice. Whatever we do, we try to pay attention to that activity. We say one thing at a time, and that done well. Whenever you are eating a meal, you just pay attention and be with that activity. Whenever you are walking somewhere, you just pay attention and be with the walking. Whenever you do some other activity, just try to appreciate that. That way, we try to be present. That way, we try to be appreciative of the present moment. So that's the practice what that we are doing. Let me tell you the problem with this practice, or problem with the aliveness, awakefulness. When you are awake, when you pay attention to the present moment, the things that you experience, they are not always present. Sorry, the things that you experience, they are not always pleasant. So that's a problem. Usually, we don't like to experience unpleasant things. We'll do whatever that takes to avoid experiencing the unpleasant things. That's our nature. That's how we behave. The problem with awakefulness or the mindfulness is that whenever you practice mindfulness, whenever you are awake, the things that you experience, they might not be always pleasant. Whenever we experience unpleasant things, we try to avoid them. We try to replace them with pleasant things. When you have problems at your home, you try to avoid that environment and you try to go somewhere else. Be with some other people or develop some kind of addiction. So that's how you are avoiding these unpleasant experiences, these unpleasant emotions, these unpleasant thoughts. So when we talk about mindfulness, when we invite somebody to practice mindfulness, this is the very first complaint that they'll file. They'll come and say, as soon as I try to be mindful, I experience these unpleasant feelings, these unpleasant thoughts, these things I have been avoiding in my entire life. So that type of a complaint we often hear. When you are awake, when you are mindful, even the unpleasant things are there. You have to experience the unpleasant things as well. So what's the solution? Can you keep avoiding these unpleasant things? Can you keep replacing them only with pleasant things? That's not possible in this life. Instead, gradually, you develop the ability to withstand these unpleasant experiences, these unpleasant thoughts, these unpleasant emotions. That's why repetitive practice is important. Sometimes initially you can only sit for a few minutes. Some people, they say they can't even close their eyes. Initially, when they start mindful sitting, they can't even close their eyes. As soon as they close their eyes, they feel fearful. They feel various thoughts, memories, emotions. So they are fearful of closing their own eyes. So that's fine. Initially, you try to practice at least for a few minutes. If the sitting is difficult, you try to practice mindful walking. You try to practice day-to-day mindfulness, like mindful brushing. That way, little by little, you improve your practice. You take small steps toward your practice and try to develop it. In a way, you are developing the strength to be with these unpleasant sensations. There might be unpleasant sensations in your body. There might be unpleasant sensations in your mind. Whatever they are, gradually you develop the ability to withstand them. You develop the strength of your mind to experience them. That's why with time, you feel that you can sit for good 15 minutes. You can walk for good 15, 20 minutes. Probably after a few weeks of practice, you can easily do this. So in a way, we are developing our ability to withstand these unpleasant experiences. We are strengthening our mind to withstand these unpleasant experiences. So that way, we develop our practice. And when we develop our practice, when we are able to withstand these unpleasant bodily or mental experiences, then you realize with time, you are grateful for the opportunity that is presented in the present moment. That opportunity might not always be pleasant, but still, you are grateful for the opportunity. You are grateful that you are alive. You are grateful that you are alive even to experience the pain. That way, we appreciate the present moment. There might be various problems, various troubles in your life. Time to time, they come. When they come, usually our attitude is that we want to avoid them. We want to replace them. But the practitioner, they start to appreciate this opportunity. This opportunity to feel pain. This opportunity to go through this unpleasant experience. This opportunity to deal with this unpleasant person. That appreciation we are developing, that appreciation we are little by little doing. That's why when somebody asks you, what should you do with the unpleasant memories? What should you do with the unpleasant thoughts? What should you do with the unpleasant emotions? The correct advice is that you don't have to do anything. Instead, you have this willingness. You have this willingness to allow them to be as they are. You are not refusing them. You are not fighting them. You are not rejecting them. Instead, you allow them to be. That's called willingness in your mind. You are willing to let them be. That's a great quality that you develop with the practice. So far in your life, probably you have refused these memories. You have refused these emotions. You have refused these thoughts. But now, with the help of the practice, with the help of repetitive practice, you allow them to be. You have the willingness to let them be. Let the bad memories be. Let the unpleasant thoughts, emotions be. Allow them to be there. And with no time, you realize when you stop fighting against them, they naturally fade away. As long as you are fighting, those emotions will be there. As long as you are fighting, those thoughts will be there. As long as you are fighting, those memories will be there. But gradually, when you stop fighting, you realize as soon as you stop fighting, the thoughts, the memories, the experiences, they start to fade away. That's how this mind works. As long as you are fighting, these emotions, these thoughts, these memories will be there. But when you accept them, then you realize they are not so strong. They gradually fade away. That's the true practice that we are talking about. Initially, you might try to avoid these thoughts. You might try to avoid these memories. You might try to avoid these emotions. But if you get correct advice, if you do your repetitive practice, the best advice we can give is just let them be. Develop the willingness to let them be as bad memories, as unpleasant thoughts, as unpleasant emotions. That's what we are doing. That's how we are practicing. Again and again, we continue with this type of a practice. Again and again, we develop the willingness to continue to appreciate the things, the thoughts, the bad memories in the present moment. Although they might not be pleasant, we try to appreciate them. That's how we should be developing our practice. That's how we should be continuing with our practice. Again and again, you develop this practice. Again and again, you develop this attitude. That's how you have to practice gratitude. You can see you are appreciative of the present moment. You are grateful for the experience. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, that doesn't matter. You are grateful for the experience. That's what we are doing. That's the strength we are developing. That's the willingness that we should have. Because in life, you can't always experience the pleasant things. In life, you can't only experience the pleasant things. Always, you have to experience both pleasant and unpleasant things. When you have that experience, you have to have the strength to face them. And it says that when you develop this practice, your experience won't change. The experience of unpleasant things, it won't change. But what will change is that your strength, the strength in your mind will increase. The strength in your mind will improve. And due to that strength, due to that improvement, you are able to withstand these unpleasant things much easier. And you realize the suffering part is considerably lower. The suffering part is considerably lower because you are not fighting. You don't have confusion in your mind. Instead, you accept whatever the thoughts, whatever the memories, whatever the emotions that are there. So that's the correct practice that we are trying to develop. When you do mindful sitting, when you do mindful walking, you have to remember this. Sometimes various unpleasant thoughts, memories, emotions might come. You don't have to suppress them. Instead, gradually allow them to pass. Develop the willingness to let them be. When you have that willingness, then it's a healing process that's happening. Sometimes you can feel so many thoughts. They say chain thoughts, they say train thoughts. These things are coming. One after another, these thoughts are coming. You don't have to fight them. You instead let them be, allow them to pass naturally, have that willingness. Sometimes various past incidents, they are replayed in your mind. Again and again, you can see that the same incident is replaying in your mind. When that happens, you allow that incidents to come and go. You have that willingness. And with time, you realize it's a healing process that's happening. It's a healing process that's happening again and again. These things are coming. But when you allow it to happen, the strength of these memories, the strength of these incidents, they are reducing. Every time you accept these thoughts, every time you accept these emotions, you realize the strength is reduced by a tiny bit. When you accept it again, then the strength is reduced again. This way, you realize gradually these thoughts, these memories, these emotions, they lose the power that they have. They lose the power because you are accepting. You have a different attitude towards these memories. You have a different attitude towards these thoughts. You have a different attitude towards these emotions. Maybe for years they have been there in the dark side of your mind. But now the healing process has started. Now the healing is happening. Gradually you become healthy in your mind. And even the same thing happens in your body as well. Sometimes certain parts, they start aching, paining. There was this Indian person here. As soon as he sat for meditation, he could see that one of his eyes, it starts tearing. Then that eye becomes the red color. So he comes and complains, Mante, all the time when I sit, I can see that this eye is tearing and it changed the color. It becomes red color. So in a way, he's having eye surgery. During his meditation, he's having eye surgery. It's free. You just have to allow it to happen. And within few weeks, within few days, that symptom went away. Afterwards, he could sit properly, no pain, no issue in his body. So these are healing processes. If you have certain injuries in your body, as soon as you sit in meditation, you can see that these parts start aching, paining. Sometimes even the bones, you can feel the pain is there. So this person usually come and complain, I have this injury. A couple of years ago, I had this accident. And due to the meditation, due to the practice, now it's getting worse. Now it's aching. Now it's paining. But that person doesn't know it's a healing process. It's the remaining part of this healing process. You just allow it to be and you realize within a few days, within a few weeks, the pain goes away. So you can see whether it could be your mind or whether it could be your body, If you have the willingness to accept these unpleasant experiences, these unpleasant thoughts, these unpleasant memories, then it's a healing process that's happening. As soon as you accept this present moment unconditionally, whether it's good or bad, you accept the present moment unconditionally. And when you accept it, it's a healing process. It's a healing process. Again and again, your body is healing. Again and again, your mind is healing. That's why we say, doesn't matter whether the experience is pleasant or unpleasant. You just sit for your 1 hour. Doesn't matter whether your mind is calm or not. You just walk for your 1 hour. Continue with your practice. Whether you feel sleepy, whether you feel awake, just sit for while you are sitting time. Whether your mind is calm or whether your mind is agitated, just walk for your walking time. Whatever you feel, it doesn't matter. You just do your sitting practice. You just do your walking practice. And even day-to-day activities, you try to continue with your mindfulness. That's the proper attitude. In a way, we are unconditionally appreciating, accepting this present moment. That's gratitude. We appreciate you of the present moment, despite whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. We appreciate you. We are grateful for the opportunity. That's what we are doing. That's how we should be continuing our practice. So that's the idea for today. Gratitude and mindfulness, they go together. They go hand in hand. You just have to understand the proper meaning of it. If you think you have to receive something, if you think you have to reach a future goal in order to practice gratitude, then that's avoiding life. That's avoiding life. That's avoiding living in the present moment. But instead, we try to appreciate the things we already have. Instead, we are appreciative of the opportunity that's given to us in the present moment. You don't know how many causes align for you to have that opportunity. You don't know how extremely rare that opportunity is. So once you are at it, why don't we appreciate it? Why don't we practice gratitude towards this present moment, unconditionally accepting this present moment? So that's the idea I want to give today. Thank you for listening and try to execute this in your day-to-day life.
Thank you very much, Panthe, for that very insightful reflection and guidance and advice on how to connect the practice of gratitude with mindfulness. And I'm sure it raises, it brings many benefits to people, and it may raise some questions. And in a moment, everyone will have opportunity to ask those questions and get further guidance and advice. But before then, I'd like to invite Hiranga to first present the beginner's guide to mindfulness and also read any practice reports and do the Q&A for today. Over to you, Hiranga. Much merits.
Thank you, Arosha. Hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Great, thank you. Avasarai Venerable Panthe, thank you very much for the very insightful talk about the topic of the month, gratitude. Before reading the reports, I would like to share the key instructions with the beginners joining to the session today and newly started practicing mindfulness. We have useful guidance on how to develop the pure mindfulness on the slide here. which also going to share by Arosha in the Zoom chat section. Hope you all can see 5-step listed on the screen, which has been shared currently. The first step is to go through the 2 video links in the slide here under the basic instruction. You can watch 2 of the key aspects of developing your mindfulness. These 2 key aspects are mindful walking and mindful sitting. The monastery has provided basic instruction videos on these 2 forms on the slide here. One on mindful walking and one on mindful sitting guidance. Mindful walking focuses on how to practice mindfulness while doing an activity. Mindful sitting mainly focuses on practicing how to be mindful while not doing any activities. Mindful daily activities also play an important role in developing your mindful practice during the day to enjoy the present moment happily. Mm-hmm. It would be critically depend on how you are able to allocate some time into your daily schedule to practice mindfulness. We suggest that you make mindful practice one of your top priority of the daily schedule. Once you grab the momentum of mindful practice, we would recommend start with a good 10 to 20 minutes as your choice and gradually increase 1 hour each every day, both mindful walking and mindful sitting practice. Once you've done the practice, after that, you need to write down the notes into a report, focusing on writing about what you have felt during the practice. Write down the report is part of your mindful practice. We have some reports we are going to read later. You can get an idea how the reports will be formatted from that example. Please send your reflection report through a Google form that you can fill, or our email address is beginnersenvy@gmail.com, as you can see in the slide. Then we will read out the reports to Venerable Bhante Dhammakusala Thero, address those reports and provide you guidance on how to develop your mindful practice further. So all are warmly welcome to keep joining every Saturday's morning session and practice mindfulness daily. It's a very essential to practice mindfulness daily. It benefits all areas of your life in a positive way. Continue to develop your mindful practice according to the guidance given during the session. In conclusion, I hope this helps your mindful development. Thank you. With that, Venerable Bhante, there is one report received today. I will read the first report from now on. Let me open the report for today. First report is written by an adult. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and close eyes gently. The primary object, breath, noted just inside nostrils as cool air in and warm air out. Noted upper body moving back and forth soon after, but attention returned to the sensations of breath again. The novelty of our upper body movements seems to have reduced over the last couple of weeks. No temperature change noted between in and out breath. Some thoughts arose and passed away. Mind stayed with the rhythm of breathing for a while. Then multiple streams of air seems to move in a circular motion about an inch outside the nose. It was difficult to distinguish the in-breath from the out-breath around the nostrils now, but knew that the body was breathing, for example, noted rise and fall of stomach. Thoughts appeared from time to time, but knew this would pass away sooner or later, and they did. Breathing noted alternatively as movement in chest, subtle rise and fall of stomach, and as subtle air movement near nostrils, sat for 55 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Now it is easier to note when the attention leaves a task at hand. For example, the focus was on the sensation of clothes while folding them, and all of a sudden recognized the mind had moved to thoughts of past events. This happened two or three times while folding clothes, and each time the attention returned to the sensations and movements of the task. There is a less judgment of this process now. Another useful observation made during last week was the unending nature of the worldly tasks such as working, cooking, cleaning, washing, and multitude of other regular tasks that keeps on demanding attention. While this information was known already as and in the mind, now it's become more of an essential understanding, experiential understanding. Observe the very small return on much higher investments. For example, hunger noted while doing chores around the house, and when it couldn't be ignored, couldn't be ignored any further, stopped to prepare a meal. It took half an hour to prepare it, but less than 3 minutes to eat it. Then there was still washing up and tidying up to do before returning to the chores. Such high effort for such low outcome. Some noted with cleaning, shopping, working, seemingly never-ending rotation that are so time-consuming. While in a similar situation 2 days ago, choose to make something simple, which required little time, effort, and ingredients to prepare. The demanding part of the mind was unhappy with this simple choice, but it made sense to the other part of the mind to save time when possible and invest it in self-awareness and in the formal practice. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and much merit to Bhante and the organizers. That's the end of the report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now we can relate the first part of your report to the discussion that we had. Now there are thoughts, but you knew that they would pass away sooner or later. So that attitude is important while sitting or while walking. These thoughts come. Sometimes these thoughts are not so pleasant, but you accept them. You have the willingness to let them be because you know they'll pass sooner or later. That attitude is important. That willingness is important. Once you have that willingness, with no time, you realize these thoughts, they fade away. Although they are there, even let's say they are there, but still, you are not fighting it. There is no struggle in your mind. Even while folding clothes, you realize that the past memories, probably bad memories, they come. Or your problems, they come. You allow them to be while knowing that the bad memories are there, that these issues are arising. That very awareness is important. With that awareness, we let them be. We let them be. We develop that willingness to allow them to come and go as they wish. That's why Shushuki Roshi is saying that keep the front door and keep the back door open in your home. Both front door and the back door, they are open. So let the thoughts come. They come, might come from the front door and they might go away from the back door. Or they might come from the back door and they might go away from the front door. Or whatever other combination. Allow them to come and go, but don't serve them tea. That's the idea he's giving. Let the thoughts come and go, whichever they wish. But don't serve them tea. So that's the attitude, that's the practice that we are developing. And when you have that attitude, you realize earlier these thoughts, they kept bothering you so much. But when you change that attitude, when you develop that willingness, they are not so troubling. Even among these thoughts, you are mindful. Even among these bad memories, you know that you are folding clothes. That's the idea, that's the real practice that we are trying to develop. Then towards the latter part of your report, you are mentioning that this multitude of tasks are there in your life. In a way, that's living. Those things, little by little, we have accumulated probably over 30, 40, 50 years. So these things are there. It's a never-ending multitude of activities. Every day you wake up, you have so many things to do. Even after 18 hours of awakeness, still you feel the time is not enough. Still you feel there are more pending tasks. So this is life. This is living in a way. Some people think that if I get rid of all these tasks, then I'd be peaceful. Sometimes they go to a forest and they say, I came to a forest, then now I'll be peaceful. I came to a monastery, now I'll be peaceful. That's how they think. They think that they can just skip these things and there'll be peace in your mind. But you have to try and see. Try to give up all these tasks and come to a monastery for a few days and see what will happen. You realize your mind goes crazy. Now you have nothing to do. All the thoughts, memories, everything comes. And you feel like running back home, trying to avoid this calm, peaceful environment. So that's something fun, that's some fun experience that you should have in your life. Reserve some time, probably 10 days, 5 days, and go to a silent retreat and see how your mind is reacting. See whether you'll find calm and peaceful nature in your mind when you change this environment, when you refrain from doing these things. It's not that easy. So that's why we recommend wherever you are, how busy you could be, still you can practice. Don't wait for a future day, which you can go to a monastery with probably like 10-day vacation. You don't have to wait till that. Let's say that day comes, then you realize it's not easy to meditate. I came here for 10 days. I have given up everything, but still, now my mind is not accepting this. It goes crazy with all the thoughts, memories, bodily, mental pain, aches, everything comes. So that's why wherever you are, you can start practicing. You can develop this practice. You don't have to spend the entire day. Instead, try to do your multitude of tasks mindfully and see what will happen. Sometimes you realize 20 minutes of cooking, 3 minutes of eating. That's how the life is. You can't really expect high outcome for high income input. That's not how it works. Sometimes we have to put a lot of effort with no output, no outcome. But still you have to do. That's life. So in this practice, we are not expecting the outcomes. We are not concerned about the outcomes. Instead, whatever the things, we do it wholeheartedly. Maximum input we do, we give. And let it be, whatever the outcome, let it be. You don't have to worry about it. In a way, one thing at a time, and that done well. Doing your day-to-day activities wholeheartedly. Let it be cooking, try to appreciate it. Try to enjoy that process. And probably you can even make a profession out of it if you enjoy it. When you go to a high-end restaurant, if you go and talk to the chef, he's enjoying his task. He doesn't consider it as work. Otherwise, he'll complain all the hours here, 8 hours per day, I have to cook. That's his complaint. But if you go to those people and if you talk to them, they'll say they're enjoying their task. They're enjoying the cooking. They don't consider it as work. So that type of attitude we have to develop. Whatever the things we do it wholeheartedly. We try to complete it. Then we move to the next activity. We try to complete it. Then we go to the another one. So that way we are not concerned about the output. You can't think about the output in this life. All the time you can't think. That's not how it works. Instead, whatever you do, if it is necessary to do, you do it. You do it wholeheartedly. Let's say you are cooking, you try to appreciate it. Let's say you are cleaning your house, you try to appreciate it. Let's say you are feeding your children, you try to appreciate it. That's the way that you have to approach these things. You have to think whether this task is necessary. If the task is necessary, you do it wholeheartedly. You don't worry about the outcomes. You don't worry about the output. If it is not necessary, then of course you can avoid. So that's the attitude that you have to develop. That's the practice that we are trying to develop gradually. So let's try and see. With repetitive practice, you can do it. Keep at it. That's the important thing. Because most people, they can't continue with this practice for a long time. They do for a few weeks, then they give up. They do for a few months, then they give up. But you have to do the same thing. The practice also the same. It's not pleasing. It's not enthusiastic. Instead, you do for the sake of doing. Every day you sit for 30, 40 minutes for the sake of sitting. Every day you walk for 30, 40 minutes for the sake of walking. It's not pleasant, but still you do it. That's how we have to approach life. Whatever the things, if it is necessary to do, do it. It might not be pleasant. It might not have much outcome. But still you do it. You do it wholeheartedly. That's the proper attitude that you have to develop.
Thank you, Venerable Bhante. With that, we conclude today's reports. Now we open to the session, to the Q&A session. So if you have any question, please raise your hand, your Zoom hand, and we will give you the opportunity to ask Venerable Bhante your question. Yeah, I can see that Arosha raised hands. Could you please unmute yourself and ask the question?
Thank you, Hiranga. Avasarai Bhante. I wanted to ask a question about receiving gratitude. I think your talk focused a lot on developing gratitude within ourselves and maybe also about expressing gratitude. But a situation I sometimes face is when receiving gratitude is two things, I think. One, sometimes I feel uncomfortable receiving gratitude. I feel undeserving of what the other person is saying. And this sometimes called the imposter phenomena. I don't feel I'm deserving of that gratitude. But other times I notice that those expressions of gratitude are feeding my ego. I feel that it's actually that it can be in a way generating pride, I guess, and a feeling of feeding my ego in an unhelpful way, in an unskillful way. So I'd really welcome your thoughts on that, Bhante, and how to be more skillful and use mindfulness to be more skillful when receiving gratitude. Much merits.
Right. So you have to ask that question from a monk, because their life, the livelihood, everything is dependent on the other people. You know, you are not paying them. You are not giving them any service. And so some unknown people, they come and they offer you food, they offer you clothing, and they offer the other necessary things, right? So that's a question that is very much related to a monk. Sometimes in your mind, you wonder whether I deserve this. Because they come, they offer the best things they have. Probably they don't have enough to survive at their home. But still they come and offer. Probably that person, still the home is under renovation. He can't complete it. But he come and offer for the buildings here. So that's how the most people are. And that's how the monks survive. So in a way, in one's mind, that's a real question. Do I deserve this? Am I worthy of this much of respect? They come, they offer, they worship you. That's how they do, right? So that question is very much interesting to discuss, because, you know, when you receive something from somebody, if you have doubt in your mind, then it's a problem, especially for a monk, right? So the lay people, they have certain justifications. You can justify saying that this is my friend, or this is my family member, or this is my coworker. Some way you can justify. But the monks, totally unknown people, they come and offer. So in a way, receiving the end of gratitude. That's where we are, receiving end. So in your mind, it's natural that you create doubts. Am I worthy of this respect? Do I deserve this? But there are certain rules, there are certain norms given. And if the offering aligns with those norms, if the offering aligns with those rules, then Buddha says, you can accept, you deserve it. So in a way, he's trying to develop confidence, giving certain kind of a outline, giving certain norms, rules, and saying, if they come through these channels, then you deserve it. He's saying, go on, arms round. And that meal, I am assuring. You go arms round, you take your ball, you go to the village, you gather your meal, you gather your lunch. He's saying that meal, I am assuring. But some days, a certain person will come to your kuti with a luxurious meal and offer you. If they come and offer, you can accept. That's what he is saying. He's saying under the cave, you can live. You can live. You can reside. But if somebody come and build you a luxurious kuti, then you can accept it. Then you can accept it. There's no issue living there. So that's how, and he's showing the rules, he's giving the rules, right? So that way, the receiving end, it's interesting to discuss the receiving end of the gratitude. That's a great question, even for a monk. If he's aligning with these rules, then it's okay to accept. If it aligns with these norms, then it's okay to accept. So that's the idea, that's the way of the practice that we are doing. In a way, in your mind, you have to check, am I worthy? If somebody comes and offer you something, if somebody comes and give you something, if they give you a compliment, then of course that's fine. You can be compassionate and accept it. And it says, if you're hungry, don't hesitate to go and ask from somebody. If you're hungry, then go and ask from somebody. It's okay. I'm hungry. Can you give me something to eat? You don't have to hesitate for that. So that type of a idea we have to develop. That type of a norm we have to develop. In a way, if it comes through the proper way, if you feel like you deserve it, then of course you can accept it. Even, let's say, a compliment. Somebody come and giving a compliment to you. Sometimes you feel that you are worthy. And if it is a compliment, you can feel happy and confident in your mind when you receive it. But sometimes you receive flattery as well, right? When you receive flattery, it creates doubt. Is this person talking about me? Or is this person talking about somebody else? Usually the compliments, their reasoning is good. Flattery, they have some hidden dark reason. So you can, if you are mindful, you can separate those things. Is this flattery or is this a compliment? What you have to do is that you have to listen mindfully and see. If it is flattery, you feel it. You feel it in your gut, not in the brain, not in the thinking processes. Instead, you feel in your it in your gut. This is flattery, or this is a compliment, genuinely offering compliment. So that way you have to be mindful. And sometimes, of course, you have to reject. Those occasions are there. Those opportunities will be there. You have to reject. You have to tell them, okay, no thanks. Or probably some later time, some other time. So that awareness will protect you. You can't really put rules into life, right? You can't plan these incidents, plan these things. Instead, you try to be aware. You try to listen to the opportunity and see whether it's true, whether you deserve it. If you don't feel like it, then of course you can politely reject. So that openness we'll keep. We won't make any rules. Instead, we'll be mindful and see whether this is a compliment or whether this is flattery. Whether I deserve this or is it too much? So that idea you have to have. So it's a very nice experiment to see how these things are, especially when you are at the receiving end. So thank you for mentioning that question.
Thank you very much, Panthe. Yes, I think there was a time when I also would use messages of gratitude if people emailed me with thanks. I would actually, I thought it was a useful thing to do, keep these messages in a separate folder so that when I was feeling a bit depressed about work or, you know, not feeling appreciated, I would go and read these messages as a way to remind myself that actually people have appreciated me in the past. But again, mindfulness was very helpful in it helped me notice that there were times when I was thinking of doing things or even doing things where in search of gratitude, right, to try to expecting gratitude. So I actually don't look at that folder anymore. The messages are there, but mindfulness has helped me let go of the folder of messages. So, I think what you shared about kind of being attentive and noticing the qualities of gratitude when it's received in our own minds is really helpful. So thank you very much, Panthe.
Yeah, that's the idea. So when you receive it, you have to be attentive and receive it. And when that is done, you don't have to store it, you know. Even me, it's funny that you mentioned this. Even me, I used to keep certain things reminding me of certain people, reminding me of certain incidents, those things. But my attitude is that today I save, tomorrow I go and delete. Right? That's how I do. Tomorrow I feel like I should be keeping this, so I delete it. Then again, some other day something comes, I save it. Next day I go and delete it. So that's how you have to do. If you keep, you know, permanent storages, then it's a problem. Always refreshing, always changing. All things are deleting. That's how we have to do. Let's say if you keep a permanent gratitude folder, then that opposite folder might also appear. Right? These people have done these things, right? You keep records, probably not in a folder, but in your mind you have. That's how our mind works. You know, opposite extremes, they attract each other. Right? So in a way, it's okay to receive it. You receive it wholeheartedly. You do what is necessary. But when that's done, you just, you know, forget about it. Probably tomorrow, go and delete. Not today. Today, you don't feel like deleting it. Tomorrow, you go and delete. Even somebody is saying that journaling, you know, journaling. Some people, they write their problems in a journal. This person has done this. This is the story. This is what happened. All the things they are writing, usually negative, not positive. Right. So in a way, for some people, it is helpful there to manage their emotions, thoughts, helpful to deal with it. In a way, it's part of the healing process for them. Right. But what happens is that if you keep those journals, even after years, they come and they read those incidents. They make them permanent. That risk is there. So somebody is saying, probably I can't remember who that was. He's saying, write your problems, journal them. Tomorrow, burn them. Now my problems are gone. Write all the incidents, all the worries, all the faults that people have done. Tomorrow you burn them. Right? No permanent records. That's the real idea. Even, you know, earlier, probably like a few years back, when somebody did something, I can recall it very much. You know, for years I can recall this person has done this, so I am not talking to this person. This person has done this, so I am not dealing with this person. that memory was there even for years. But now, certain people, they are not always doing the pleasant things. Sometimes it is difficult to deal with certain people. But now the problem is that I can remember. After a few days, I can remember what this person has done. I know he has done something, but I can't remember exactly what. So you can't really black these people due to that incident. You know, you can't recall. You can't remember exactly. If you remember those exact details, then that's the defilements in your mind. When you develop your practice, you realize things come and go. The world is changing. Change is the only permanent thing. That's how you can really develop this practice. That's why they say you can't really forgive and forget. Instead, you will first forget. When it is forgotten, anyway, it's forgiven. If you still remember, although you forgive with your words, still the mind you hold into it, hold on to it. Still in your mind, that incident is there. This person has done this. But if you forget first, then forgiven, already forgiven, right? So probably till you remember that incident, you are not forgiving that person. But one day you realize that the incident you can't recall anymore. Something happened, but not exact details. So the forgiveness is there, already forgiven, right? So there was this person few months back, that person was asking, Bhante, are you still mad? So I told them that you did something. I know you did something, but I can't remember exactly. So already forgiven, right? So that's the idea. Let's see with the practice, we can really see how it works.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Thank you very much, Bhante. I can much relate to the compliments and complaints as well. And thank you very much, Arusha, for sharing your experience with us. It's really encouraged beginners as well, I thought. Anyone who wants to ask a question, there is actually a few more minutes left. Yeah, I can see Nadeep raise his hand, Zoom hand. Yeah, you can unmute yourself and ask the question from Bhante.
Thank you, Ranga. Asrai Bhante. This is a bit of a supplementary question for what Arusha asked. A bit of a two contrasting situation as well. Suppose we appreciating present moment and pay gratitude to the present moment, regardless of whether pleasant or it's unpleasant. And then we have this situation, if somebody does something to us, say, for example, after every meditation session or mindfulness practice sessions, we pass gratitudes to Chief Bhante and Bhante yourself, and also everyone supported. At the same time, whoever supporting us for our spiritual path, and also whoever support us for our daily well-being, and then we pass gratitude to them as well. So, but when we pass that gratitude feeling, I felt sometimes a bit of a indebtedness to those people. Whereas when I pass gratitude to the whoever my spiritual teachers, I didn't feel that way. Would you give some idea or how would you see that sort of a situation?
Nadeep, can you repeat the two comparisons again?
Yeah, when in our spiritual practice, we pass merits to, you know, Chief Bhante or you yourself, and also whoever's supporting us. And at the same time, whoever support us for our day-to-day life or well-being, then we pass the gratitude for them as well. But in that situation, I feel, you know, sometimes some sort of indebtedness to those people, whereas the like, you know, some I have some debts because they offered me their support for my well-being. Whereas in the spiritual well-being, there's no such a thing. Like we just say, because this is purely for our path to, I would say, Nibbana. Yeah, those two situations. How would you see that?
Right. So usually, if you think about it, in your spiritual practice, you receive a much greater gift. Although you didn't feel that way, although you didn't feel that you are in debt, right? You receive a much greater gift. But you know, this gift is given without any expectations. That idea is in the back end of your mind. You know that this is given as a gift. This practice is given as a gift with no expectations, right? So whatever the expectation is for you to develop your own spiritual life. That's the only expectations. No other expectations are there. And that expectation also sometimes the teacher can't have, because if everybody won't accept this present. You know, you go to and speak to like probably like 100 people and you realize not even 10 got the message. Right? So what to do? If you have expectations, then teaching is a tiring job. But if you are open, you just do it for the sake of doing. You have no expectations. If you do it, then you realize it becomes much easier. Few days ago, there was this funny incident. A group of people, probably like 30 or 40 people, they came for an offering here. The day before, I went there to do a small program on mindfulness. So after doing probably like 1.5 hours, a mindful program, towards the end of it, during the discussion, this person got up and she was asking, Bhante, is it advisable to do metta meditation? That was the question. So I was preaching about mindfulness 1.5 hours. Then that person is asking whether it's okay to do metta meditation. So I told that person, it's natural that you are not receiving the gift that we are giving. Right? You have some ideas in your mind. You come with those ideas. You try to get verification for those ideas. Their mind is not that open, right? So you can't really have expectations even in teaching. It's going to be a tiring job if you have expectations. That's why most teachers, they get heart attacks, right? They expect the disciples to perform good. But when they are not doing, you create tension, you create difficulty, right? So in a way, this gift, although it's the greatest gift the one can give, this gift, you have to give it with no expectations. No expectations. But in the other hand, if you think about your other encounters, your co-workers, your family members, those opportunities, you feel you are in debt, right? So that's fine. That's fine. You can have that feeling. Still, you can continue and see. Maybe if you feel like you are not doing enough, then you can do more. You can change few things. That way you can approach. If you continually feel like it, right? So you have to keep it open and see, why do I feel this? Because you receive much greater gifts from that spiritual side, but you don't feel that way. These materialistic things, these worldly things, why do I feel this way? You can question and see. We'll keep it open. You do the observation and see if it is helping. You can do more for them if you feel like that continually. So that is open. But I have to remind that during the spiritual practice, you are receiving a much greater gift. And that's the best gift one can give. But we are giving with no expectations. That's why even the programs, they are free of charge. Now, recently, this Satipasli, it went to the school system, now island-wide. So somebody was asking, are there any classes, tuition classes for Satipasala? So this, our facilitator, she gave some Zoom information saying that these programs are there and they are free of charge, right? Free of charge, is it? Then probably not worth, right? That's the response, you know? If it is paid, then they'll come. If it is paid, it's worthwhile. That's how the world thinks. But we have to do these things free of charge. If you charge somebody, it's not worth. You know, you have to give it free of charge, because the expectation is to, you know, develop their inner self, develop their spirituality, that gift, the greatest gift one can give. And you are giving it wholeheartedly, no reservations, and giving it for free. What else you can do in this life, right?
Yeah. Much merit, Bhante. Thanks for giving us the greatest gift ever.
Thank you very much, Bhante. Thank you very much, Nadeep, to share your thoughts. There is one more raising hand. Is Venerable Bhante, is that okay to present?
That's fine.
Okay. Buddhika, you can unmute yourself and present your question or your experience very briefly, because we ran out of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Respected Bhante Avasarai, thank you for the opportunity. I quickly want to mention regarding today's Dhamma talk. It was really insightful and very valuable talk for us. I listened to it with my daughters. I think although we three are in different stages of life, we all benefited from that. And it is a good reminder, a great reminder actually, to not to push away the bad experiences or memories, which especially teenagers would not comprehend in that language. It's good to come from Bhante, and then they will, I hope they will reflect on it. That's also with regards to Nadeepa's, I think before Nadeepa, there was a question regarding not being able to accept the compliment. This is my personal journey on that. I was very, very bad with taking compliments. And then I realized some point that probably I was very much self-conscious about being in that limelight or being accepted like that. I was trying to suppress myself as unwanted or unnoticed, or it is okay, or gel in with everybody else, and or not to accept any sort of compliment. It's very rewarding to be able to learn to accept the compliment, because I now have learned to place it as same plate like somebody criticizing me. So it's a journey. I'm still learning. I haven't come to perfection with that, but this is my journey. I thought of sharing it. And so I'm trying to learn to give same importance to criticism as well as to somebody praising me, so that I don't get go into that seesaw up and down. Or treat something very special or treat the other one very bad and get more upset. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you for the opportunity. Much merits.
Okay, thanks for adding your idea. Now you can see in this new age, usually positivity, all the positive things, they are advertised. Whenever you watch TV, you go on internet or you connect social media, you see only the positive things. they are advertised, you know, beautiful houses, beautiful family, and beautiful professions, various things are there. They are creating ideal images. If you are a man, this is your body. If you are a woman, this is your body. If you are successful, this is the picture, right? So that's how they advertise. Only the positive things are advertised in this new age. But life, you have to experience the negative things as well. That's why some people, they only search or seek pleasure. They keep searching, seeking pleasure, and displeasure they are avoiding. But are they successful? Even the wealthiest people in this world, are they successful? No, if you read their stories, if you read their biographies, then you realize towards the end of their life, this person suffered so much due to various things happened. You seek pleasure, but without you knowing it, you seek displeasure as well. So that's how the life works. So we have to teach our young that in our life, it's natural that you experience both pleasure and difficulties. That's how life is. When you experience these things, you don't have to avoid them. It's okay to feel sad for a while. It's okay to feel fearful. It's okay to feel these negative things. That's really living. That's the mindfulness practice we are saying. As soon as you are mindful, usually for a beginner, the negative things come. They think that there is something wrong with this practice, because as soon as I sit, all the negativity, all the past memories, all the difficult incidents, they come. Because you have been suppressing so for so long, as soon as you make it open, all these things start flooding. Again and again, we have to say, you have to accept these things, be open to these things, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. That's how you have to develop your practice. Gradually, you have to do it. And the second part, receiving end. Yes, so you can do. What you can do is that you can be mindful. You can accept it. Because if somebody is complimenting you, if they are doing it with a genuine heart, then if you don't accept it, then it might be hurtful. That's true. That's why we say keep an open mind, be mindful, and see what's the opportunity. If you feel like it's genuine, then you can accept. You feel it in your gut. Sometimes you feel this is flattery. They have some hidden agenda. Then you can do something else, right? You have more options for those occasions. So that way, it's a journey, as you say. Gradually, you have to see. It's an experiment. That's why this is called the noble experiment. We are not in a rush. Instead, we don't have a time limit. We just continue with our practice. We find more efficient ways. We find better ways to deal with people. We find better ways to deal with various situations. So that openness will keep. And it's a journey. It's a journey. Again and again, we make mistakes and we learn. If you learn from those things, they are no longer mistakes. So that's the idea. Thank you for adding.
Thank you very much, Bhante. Much merits.
Thank you, Buddha. Thank you very much, Venerable Bhante. That's the end of the Q&A session for today. I will end this Q&A session and hand over to Arosha. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hiranga. So with the end of that Q&A session, it also brings us to the conclusion of today's session on mindfulness for beginners. We started today with some in-session mindfulness practice and then listened to a Dhamma talk, some reflections on mindful practice, and particularly around the practice of giving and then also about receiving gratitude. So it's a very helpful and useful guidance that helps us better understand the role of mindfulness for our welfare and happiness. So hopefully all of these things together will help strengthen our mindfulness practice and equip us to continue to develop and report our experiences at future sessions as well. In closing, I would like to wholeheartedly thank Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero for his generosity in giving us his time and wisdom to support our mindfulness practice. We hope that the merits of his noble activity will support and enhance Bhante's own practice, and we hope he will be able to continue to guide us during future sessions. Much merits, Bhante. On behalf of the organizers and all the participants, I would also like to express my gratitude to Most Venerable Uda Irigema Dhammajiva Thero for his encouragement and guidance and support for initiating this program of mindfulness for beginners. And finally, I'd like to thank all the organizers for their help in delivering the program and all the participants for their enthusiastic engagement with the activity. Thank you very much. I hope you all have a mindful week, and we look forward to seeing you again next time. Much merits, everyone. Thank you.